It's November 21st, 2010. Welcome to Sunday at CMU. My name is David Balser, your host for Sunday at Canadian Mennonite University. We are a university of the church for the world. Recently at CMU, a good friend of mine, Daryl Neustadter-Barg, led us in a singing chapel. The words of one of the songs written for camps with meaning felt like a prayer to me. So I invite you to pray with me in the words of the song I experienced. O Lord, you are the way, you are the truth, you are the life. You walk beside us every day. Show us your way, fire up your truth, and breathe in us life. Inside us, you will always stay, Jesus, the way. Amen. In this month of Sunday at CMU, we are pleased to be rebroadcasting a series of meditations featuring Norm Deck as our guest speaker. He is Executive Secretary for Church Engagement with Mennonite Church Canada and is also an MA grad student here at CMU. The scripture text for today is Genesis chapter 41.
The story is told of two brothers who went to their rabbi to settle a long-standing feud. The rabbi got the two to reconcile their differences and shake hands. And as they were about to leave, the rabbi asked each one to make a wish. To make a wish for the other, in honor of the Jewish New Year. The first brother turned to the other and said, I wish for you what you wish for me. At that, the second brother threw up his hands and said, See, Rabbi, he's starting up again. Unfortunately, scenes such as this, the dysfunction of families, are all too common. However, it's fairly safe to say that Jacob and his sons took dysfunction to another level. Jacob chose a favorite son and lavished gifts upon him. The remaining sons overpowered their brother, threw him in a pit, and sold him into slavery. As if that wasn't bad enough, they took his clothes and dipped them into blood, telling their father that his beloved son must have been killed by wild beasts. Like a modern-day soap opera, the dysfunction of this family seems beyond hope. To reconcile a family such as this, to heal the deep wounds inflicted upon each other, seems impossible. And yet in our text from Genesis chapter 45, reconciliation, forgiveness, is precisely what takes place. Joseph's brothers have come to Egypt in search of food. The famine which had been revealed to Pharaoh in a dream had begun 2 years previous, and the land was devastated. But Egypt had prepared, and food was available, and Joseph, as chief administrator of Pharaoh's kingdom, was charged with the welfare of the people, administering the stores of food which were to last for the 7 years of famine and beyond. Now, in a realization of Joseph's dreams back in Genesis chapter 37, his own brothers come to bow before him, begging for food. These are the same brothers who had mocked his dream, who had sold him into slavery, and who had left him for dead. Now their future was in Joseph's hands. He held the power of life and death in his decision to grant them rations from Egypt's storehouse. Joseph could easily have chosen to repay evil for evil, continuing the cycle of dysfunction that had so plagued Jacob's family throughout Jacob's life. But Joseph chose another way. He chose to forgive. He chose to seek reconciliation, restoring his relationship with his long-lost family in the process. Joseph understood that God had used his own brother's negative actions to bring about positive results, and indeed extend God's salvation to Jacob, to his family, and by extension to the very nation of Israel, God's chosen people. God continues in this salvation activity even today, seeking to break the cycle of dysfunction in families, among friends, within churches, in communities, and between the nations. But as in the story of Joseph, God invites us to participate in breaking the cycle of dysfunction by seeking another way, the way of forgiveness, the way of reconciliation, the way of peace. The cycle of dysfunction can be broken. God invites us to take the first step. Amen.
That was "For Thee Have I Waited," sung by the CNBC Choir. Becky Reeser is my interview guest today. Becky is a music student in her final year at CMU, and on Sunday, December 5th at 3 p.m., Becky will be performing in the CMU Chapel with the Mennonite Community Orchestra, led by conductor Andrew Wall. I recently invited Becky to join me in studio for a conversation about what this opportunity means for her. Her first performance with a full orchestra. Here is some of our conversation. Very happy to have Becky Reeser in the studio today. Welcome here.
Thank you.
I'd love to hear a little bit of the story of how you ended up being able to perform with an orchestra. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about the program that you're in, what you're pursuing here at CMU.
I came here with the intention of doing music therapy. And about a week after I got here, I realized that wasn't going to happen. But I just kept on with the music program because it's what I like to do. As I was here, I went through many different stages of, you know, should I do education? Should I do church work? All those different types of things. Because performance always seemed, it's hard to justify performance. You spend so much time alone in a practice room. What good does that do anyone? But through lots of many conversations and many distressful moments with my piano teacher and others, and classes on not even just music and philosophy or like arts and aesthetics, but also just theology classes around how we engage with music and what that means spiritually and socially, then I started to understand the value and the importance of the performer and the person who spends all that time with that music to present something to people. And there's just so many dimensions to that, you know, considering what the composer intended, what the performer is doing, what the setting of those people at that time in that place is, and what type of form of feeling that music is taking on at the moment. Yeah, I was able to see the importance of that in society, as we are people who, you know, we tend to want to achieve everything. That's our culture. We work and we achieve and all that sort of thing. But then we also take time to engage in things as arts. And if we didn't have that in our culture, you know, where would we be? I think we have come to be able to recognize that.
Can you point a little bit to, I mean, you mentioned theology, philosophy, music studies. I think all of that comes together, right, in that moment of saying, here's why this is so important. Were there a couple conversations or specific moments where you said, oh, there's another piece of why this matters? I know you mentioned some of that.
Yeah. First thing that comes to mind is probably third or fourth year. Cheryl Pauls, my piano teacher and also teacher of a couple classes, she's made several comments along the way that have formed my way of thinking. One way is worship and music and piano practicing and classical music, they're one for me. There's not a difference. I never thought about that before because to me, my classical performance, my practicing, that was one thing I did. And I didn't understand any spiritual significance in that. And I still didn't at that point, but it got me thinking, oh, what's here? What is there to explore? How can I connect that? Why should I connect that?
So do you have kind of a glimpse of a further understanding around that, like how classical performance and those many hours in that practice room are worship?
Mm-hmm. Obviously not completely, but there's something about that process of becoming so familiar with a work and familiar with something that someone else has crafted. I think it's also with just the inherent, like, how spiritual music is, because it's something that is, it's tangible in that you play it, but it's completely intangible as what you use to create it is from what God has given us, you know, the creativity that we have been given, inspiration from the world around us that God has created. All those things are very spiritual. You can also be very mechanical in the way you do it, but if you allow yourself, I think that becomes, you know, sitting in the practice room can be spiritual in that way when you engage.
Thanks so much for letting me kind of poke around with your story. It's been great to get to know you a little bit.
Cool. Thank you.
And that's just a taste of Becky Reeser performing an excerpt of Felix Mendelssohn's Piano Concerto No. 1 in G minor. You'll want to join her and the Mennonite Community Orchestra for their concert. Here are some upcoming activities at CMU. Tonight, it's Vespers at 7:30 p.m. in the Laudamus Auditorium, a time of worship through prayer, scripture reading, and choral music. Everyone is welcome to attend Christmas at CMU on Saturday, November 27 at 7 p.m. or on Sunday, November 28 at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. On December 5th at 3 p.m. in the CMU Chapel, it's the Mennonite Community Orchestra featuring CMU music student Becky Reeser. For more information regarding these and many other events, visit our website at www.cmu.ca or check your church bulletin. Thank you for joining me this morning for Sunday at CMU. You can listen anytime to the program on our website. I invite you to pray for our mission of Christian university education. You can send your comments and donations to Sunday at CMU, 500 Shaftesbury Boulevard, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3P2N2, or email us at sunday@cmu.ca. Until next Sunday, my prayer for you is this. May God bless you and keep you. May the face of God shine on you and give you peace. Amen.